This is the story of two friends. This is gonna make a great story. It's not polite to interrupt a bard when she's relating a heroic tale. You're a good storyteller.
Well, hey everybody, and welcome to episode number 8 of Xena Fan Fiction Podcast. My name is Amy Boatman, and I will be your host. I'm really glad that y'all are joining me. I have a great story to read for y'all. But before we get to that, I just want to thank everybody for the email I've received. If you'd like to send me an email, it's xenacast@gmail.com. Let me know if there's a story that you want to read or, you know, what you think of the podcast, whatever you want to send. I try to answer all the emails because I really appreciate that y'all take the time out of your busy day to send them to me. I'd like to give another shameless plug to my story, The Last Good Day. I'm up to chapter 6, and, well, I've just finished with chapter 6 and sent it to my beta, Alicia, my wonderfully awesome, fantastic beta reader. I honestly can't say enough good things about her. But anyway, so I've sent it off to her, and it should be posted sometime soon. But anyway, go check that out. I have a link to it in my show notes. Also, on a personal note, I got a new tattoo the other day. It's got a Xena-related item in it, and so I think it's pretty cool. I've been wanting to get it for the last couple years, so I'll put a link to the picture in my show notes just in case you might want to check it out. Well, the story I'm going to read today is called Gabrielle's Destiny, and it's by Candid Eyes. Now, one thing I have to say about Candid right quick. Candid is going to be doing a breast cancer 3-day. Now, what this is, it's a 3-day, 60-mile walk. You walk 20 miles a day for 3 days, and you do this to raise money for breast cancer research. So she needs to raise quite a bit of money, and so I'm going to put a link in the show notes to her donation site. If you can spare $1 or $100, it doesn't really matter. It all goes for an awesome cause. The proceeds go to the Susan G. Komen Foundation, which is a fantastic charity, and they do a lot of really good work in breast cancer research. So no matter what you can donate, pop over there and donate some money for her. I've done these walks myself, and they are not easy. And it really takes a lot of courage to do this kind of thing because it's very physically challenging. So I want to give her a huge shout out for actually taking on this task. But it's a lot of fun, and it's a life-changing event. And so go over there and check out her donation page and donate some money. She went to Lucy's concert at the Roxy back in January at the convention, and she took some truly incredible pictures. And she's going to have a site where you can view the pictures. They're going to be $20, and it's a $20 donation for breast cancer research. She's going to give, she's going to put the money in her donation account so that it all goes towards breast cancer research groups. So go check out the pictures and pick one up, $20. I mean, they're really awesome pictures. They'll be professionally printed out, and she's a really good eye for pictures. So go take a look at that. I'll have a link to that in my show notes. So without further ado, let's get to our story. Gabrielle's Destiny by Candid Eyes. Disclaimers. No copyright infringement is intended. All characters from Xena Warrior Princess are copyrighted by their creators and corporate types who have the contracts to prove ownership. This story is for entertainment purposes only, and I do not profit by it. Destiny and various Amazons are characters from my own little wicked mind. I own them, and they answer to me only. Sexual content? Not really. It's definitely a PG-13 story. Violence? Duh. It is still a Xena story. I don't do the best fight scenes, but there are plenty in this story, including a lot of people who die. Humor? Although this is a serious and intense story, Destiny is a smartass. I hope you find her funny. Xena and Gabrielle have some funny lines, too. Love. Eternal love between two women is a main theme. I view the characters as being lovers. However, like the show, there are nothing more than affectionate hugs and kisses between Xena and Gabrielle. I guess you would call that subtext. This story follows the end of Waking Up with the Conqueror, a story I wrote to bring Xena back. The story can be found at the Academy of Bards, and I'll put the link to that in my show notes. And it is a post Finn Conqueror story. Yes, there really is a post-Finn Conqueror story. The following is a short synopsis. Aphrodite sends Xena fan Desiree Love back in time to save Xena, But this is Aphrodite we're talking about, so Desiree ends up in the Conqueror's realm. She must find the Chronos Stone, get through to the Conqueror's heart, protect Gabrielle from being crucified, and stay alive in the process. Eventually, everyone makes it back to Joppa. It seems that the fire that killed those 40,000 unfortunate souls during a snowstorm... Does anybody remember it was snowing, or should I have my television repaired? Was not caused by Xena. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, Xena was not responsible. But then we all knew that, right? Read the story and find out who was responsible. And no, it was not the powers that be. Desiree makes it home and finds out she is the reincarnated soul of Destiny, a woman whose life will be forever entwined with Xena and Gabrielle. This is the story of Destiny. I don't believe that you need to read the first story to enjoy this one. Hopefully, though, if you like this story, you may want to check out the other one. There are a few references to Xena feeling a sense of deja vu regarding Destiny. It seems Aphrodite screwed with the gal's memories and Planet Eve and Joppa, so they don't have any memories of their time-traveling friend, only Xena's haunting feelings that she has met Destiny before. Chapter 1. Signs of Trouble. Xena and Gabrielle sat at a table inside of the busy tavern. Gabrielle was making up for lost time, eating heartily as her partner watched silently and laughed. The two had gone through quite an ordeal, barely defeating death yet again. The boat ride home had been a long one, and Gabrielle had not kept down a meal for many days. Egypt would be a new adventure, or so it seemed to them. "Gabrielle, slow down. The food isn't going anywhere," Xena said, laughing. "Funny, Xena. It just feels so great to be on dry land. It's nice to be hungry again," defended Gabrielle. "Why are you picking at your food? I ate on the ship, remember?" "Thinking about Eve, aren't you?" "Yeah, I just wish she had stayed with us for a while instead of running back to Greece so soon," answered Xena wistfully. "She's a big girl, Mom," teased Gabrielle. "She'll be all right." "I can't help but worry about her. She's thinking about picking up the sword again because of what happened in Joppa. Xena, she's been struggling with that decision for a long time. That's why she went east, to spread Eli's message and do some of her own soul-searching. I just don't want any of the events in Joppa to affect her decision." "And you don't want her to pick up a sword again," interjected Gabrielle. "Is that so wrong?" asked Xena defensively. "No, but if she does, you know she'll fight for the greater good." "I don't want her to have a life like mine." "Oh, so your life has been so horrible with me, is that it? Of course that would explain why you left me out of that wonderful little plan in Higuchi," answered Gabrielle, irritated. "No, that's not it, and you know it. And I promise no more secret plans," defended Xena. "You got that right. I'll be watching you from now on, warrior princess. If I didn't know better, I would say you were trying to get rid of me," replied Gabrielle, attempting to stifle a yawn as she spoke. "I don't ever want to get rid of you. I just don't want you following me to the other side if I should die before you," stated Xena very softly. "Well, then, no more dying," answered Gabrielle, placing her hand on her partner's as she spoke. "I need you, okay?" "It's a deal," answered Xena, picking up a piece of stew with her fork. Both women looked tenderly into each other's eyes, silently communicating their love for each other in the noisy tavern before resuming their meals. "How did Eve end up in Higuchi?" asked Xena, breaking the silence in between bites of food. "She said she could feel that you were in trouble," answered Gabrielle. "How did she find us at the tea house?" "I don't know." "You're really bothered she was there, aren't you?" "I barely remember her being there until after you revived me. My memories are very hazy. Maybe it's one of the effects of being dead. You lost a lot of your memory when Eli brought us back." "That was different," answered Xena. "How?" "All my dark memories were gone. I remember the tea house with Akemi and you and Ghost Killer. I remember defeating Yodoshi and traveling to Mount Fuji. I even remember watching my daughter ride off with Kenji, but everything else is fuzzy about Eve until after the sunset." Gabrielle looked at her with a quizzical expression on her face as she set her fork down on the table. "That is a bit odd. I have the same vivid memories, yet I barely remember Eve being there. Maybe it's our paternal instincts kicking in. No one wants to remember their child in danger," interjected Xena, yawning. "I guess the travel is catching up with me. We should think about finding a room for the night." "As soon as I'm finished," answered Gabrielle. Xena smiled as Gabrielle continued her relentless attack on the food. Moments later, she watched as Egyptian soldiers came through the door scanning the establishment, their eyes resting on Gabrielle. "Uh-oh, this can't be good," muttered Xena as the soldiers walked over to their table. 6 uniformed men walked up to the table, Four of them stood at attention behind their commander. One stood behind the warrior princess. Xena sat with her hand near her chakram. As the soldier began to speak, her eyes drooping from fatigue. "I am Bakar, commander of the Egyptian Navy," started the commander, looking at Gabrielle. "Are you the queen of the Amazons?" Gabrielle nodded, fighting to keep her eyes open, eventually slumping over in her chair. Xena's reflexes were slow, and before she could respond, she felt the sudden impact of a soldier's weapon hit her across the back of the head. She slumped forward, enveloped in darkness. The dungeon was built with stone. Six cells lined the walls, three on each side. A tall man with curly brown hair stood in the front cell, his hands around the bars, looking into the adjacent cell, holding two unconscious prisoners. The second one contained a large column where Xena and Gabrielle were chained back to back, their heads bowed in darkness. He waited patiently for the prisoners to awaken. Finally, Xena shook her head, trying to open her eyes and focus on her surroundings. She realized her arms were shackled when she tried to push the hair from her eyes. Desperately, she looked around for Gabrielle. "She's behind you," said the prisoner, observing the scene intently. "Gabrielle!" yelled Xena. "Gabrielle!" Xena turned around to look behind, but the column obstructed her view. She listened to the sound of moans coming from behind as her partner regained consciousness. "Xena?" answered Gabrielle as her eyes began to focus. "Where are we?" "You're in the Pharaoh's dungeon," answered the tall man. Xena turned to look at the man across from her. "Who are you?" she asked. "My name is Carminius. I've changed since we last met. You haven't, though." "Why does that name sound so familiar?" asked Gabrielle. "You fought with my father against Caesar and Pompey," replied Carminius. "Flanagus?" asked Gabrielle. "You remember? I knew it wasn't you, Gabrielle." Xena listened to the exchange between her soulmate and the young man. She was busy searching for a way to remove the bonds without any luck. "What do you mean, Carminius? Why are you in an Egyptian dungeon?" asked Gabrielle. "I knew you couldn't be the Amazon queen everyone is talking about. I came to Egypt to get away from the destruction in Greece. When the guards knocked you out, I attacked them." "I had to talk to you," he answered. "Why have we been arrested?" interrupted Xena. "And what do you mean, destruction in Greece?" "Greece is a battle zone. An Amazon princess has waged war on Greece. Athens is the only city that hasn't fallen to her army." "Slow down, Carminius. Who is this Amazon you speak of?" asked Xena. "Princess Destiny of the Northern Tribe. My guess is they will use you two as a bargaining chip," he answered. "Why would they care about us?" asked Gabrielle. "They think you are Destiny's mother, and any friend of the Queen's is an enemy to Egypt." "Why would they think I'm her mother?" asked Gabrielle. "You look exactly like her. She's the Queen of the Northern Amazons. They are a mighty tribe, with several hundred of their finest warriors fighting for Princess Destiny," answered Carminius. "But I am a Queen of the Amazons, Carminius. We haven't been to visit the Northern Tribe in almost 30 years. Cyan is their queen. Their numbers are small, and they moved to Greece over a year ago," replied Gabrielle. "Carminius, none of this is making sense," interjected Xena. "Have you seen these Amazon warriors? Are they just stories made up by bards?" "I've seen them, Xena. I've seen the queen walking among the dead after a battle, and I have seen Princess Destiny lead her army." "When did this queen appear in the north?" asked Xena, trying to absorb the information. "I don't know," responded Carminius. "Can you tell us any more about Destiny?" asked Gabrielle. "They say Destiny is invincible, that she is an unbeatable warrior, trained with the skills of the warrior princess. She even has special powers, and it is rumored that she has the blood of a very powerful god flowing through her." "What kind of powers?" asked Gabrielle. "When she runs through battle, arrows seem to stop and fall before they penetrate her. I have seen her lift things with her mind," he answered. "Does she use these powers to fight?" asked Xena. "Oh, no. She fights like you, Xena, with a sword in her hand. She rarely uses her powers in combat, except to deflect arrows," he answered. "When did you see her use these powers?" asked Gabrielle. "I followed her once. She often leaves the war camp unescorted." "Not a very smart thing to do when you're leading an army," interrupted Xena. "She can take care of herself, Xena. A dozen mercenaries ambushed her. They didn't have a chance." "Sounds like someone else I know," added Gabrielle. "Did she use her powers to defeat the men?" "No. She used her powers to lift her horse onto the funeral pyre after she stopped her attackers. She only uses her powers to defend herself." "Can you tell us anything else?" asked Xena. "It is rumored that she can change shapes, but this I have not seen." "What exactly do you mean, Carminius?" inquired Gabrielle. They say she can take on the shape of whoever or whatever she wishes. Can she take the shape of another person? Asked Xena. They say she takes the shape of various animals. That's how she defeated the Spartans in Corinth. Their catapults were disarmed the morning of the battle, but no one saw her. Three of the guards reported seeing a stray dog, nothing more. That doesn't prove anything, interrupted Gabrielle. But that also doesn't mean it's not true, interjected Xena. Carminius, what does she look like? She's very beautiful like you, Gabrielle. She even resembles you a bit, only she never smiles. She's much more serious like you, he explained, pointing at Xena. She's not as tall as you are, Xena, but she's definitely taller than you, Gabrielle. Her skin is golden brown with dark freckles across her chest. And she wears a very large breastplate, if you get my meaning, he added, grinning. Carminius, what about hair color, her eyes? You know, something that could actually help us in identifying her? Asked Gabrielle, frustrated. Her hair is very dark, like Xena's, but not as long, though longer than yours, Gabrielle. Her eyes are the palest green I have ever seen. When the sun reflects in them, they appear yellow, like the eyes of a tiger. In fact, she even has a tattoo of a tiger on her left calf. It's of a tiger jumping through a ring of fire. Many of her supporters wear the mark on their backs. That should make finding her easy, interjected Gabrielle. That and the thousands of soldiers she commands surrounding her, added Carminius. Gabrielle looked at Xena, who appeared to be deep in thought and unaware of the conversation. Xena, did we lose you? Xena shook her head and looked at Gabrielle. What? She asked, pausing. No, I was just thinking. Care to share? Asked Gabrielle curiously. When I was out to conquer the world, I had my own crest. It was of a lion jumping through a chakram. Some people called me the Lion of Amphipolis. I'm just glad you never tattooed it on your back, stated Gabrielle. And if I had when we met, are you saying you wouldn't wear my mark? Asked Xena, a small grin forming on her face. You got that right, warrior. I'm not a tattoo kind of gal, replied Gabrielle. You sure painted yourself in India, accused Xena. And that eventually wore off, thank the gods. Back to the subject at hand. Oh, right. Murderous warlord taking over Greece, who is invincible. Carminius, is there anything else we should know? They say she's on a quest for revenge, answered Carminius. Great, so we have a very evil woman with lethal fighting skills and godlike powers taking over Greece. We should have gone to Chen for vacation, said a very frustrated warrior princess. She's formed an alliance with Rome. Why is Rome involved? Asked Gabrielle. Their army is led by a very ambitious commander. It's rumored that he will marry Destiny after Greece has been conquered. I gather that Greece won't be enough to satisfy their need to conquer, interjected Xena. Carminius nodded. The pharaoh knows that when Greece falls, they will come to Egypt next. I suspect he's going to use Gabrielle to negotiate a treaty, added Carminius. Then let him, stated Xena. Excuse me, Xena. What does that mean? Asked Gabrielle. Carminius, will you be able to get out of this prison and back to Greece? Asked Xena, ignoring the pleas of her soulmate. Carminius nodded his head in response. I need you to deliver a message to the Athenian commander. Let him know I will be in Greece soon and ready to fight. How are we going to get back to Greece? Asked Gabrielle, exasperation in her voice. Just play along, Gabrielle. Let them think you're Destiny's mother. How is that going to help? Know your enemy. If Destiny plays along, then we get a free trip to Greece. If not, then we can clear this mess up and go to Athens. Bakar walked in as soon as Xena finished her sentence. I see you two are awake. We will be leaving for Greece shortly. You will stay chained during the trip over, he said, then quickly left the building. Looks like we're going to Greece, Gabrielle. Just think of the dinars we'll save on the boat trip alone, quipped Xena. Funny, Xena. Me chained to you on a boat is not going to be a pretty sight. Chapter 2. Destiny Averted. She was a small woman, about 5.5 feet tall, with medium-length black hair with brown highlights. Her skin was golden brown from years of training as an Amazon warrior. She had pale green eyes that glowed with intensity beneath the golden skin and dark hair. Although short in stature, she was strong and athletic, with well-defined legs and sculpted arms. She wore a black leather battle dress with a plunging neckline that reached just above her navel, and gold armor that covered her breasts, stomach, shoulders, and back. Knee-high, skin-tight black leather boots and black leather bracers trimmed in gold around her wrists. A black quiver filled with arrows lay against her right shoulder, the bow in her right hand. A sword lay in its sheath across her right hip, the hilt carved in gold with the head of a tiger carved at the base. An intricate tattoo of a tiger leaping forward through a circle of fire was etched on the side of her left calf, signifying her as the leader. After 1 year of notable conquests, She rode atop a midnight black stallion at the front of her army, prepared for this defining moment in her life. It was her destiny. After all, she was destiny. The Athenian army was massive, but they weren't indestructible. Their arrogance would be their demise. The soldiers in her charge knew they would be lucky to survive the onslaught, but they would follow Destiny into Tartarus, and she was brave enough to lead the battle. Destiny charged into the middle of the army with her legion, much smaller than the many legions of soldiers they would battle today. Shields went up as arrows came plummeting down from the Athenians. The cavalry continued its charge as a soldier here and there fell from his horse, struck by an arrow that flew by the protection. Destiny rode her black stallion up the middle, shooting arrow after arrow, each hitting its mark. The arrows flew around her, seemed to miraculously fall to the side, never penetrating her skin. As she drew nearer, her sword was drawn, and she charged into the soldiers, taking out any man who dared to challenge her. She pulled her horse up to survey the damage around her. Her legion was outnumbered, but fighting bravely. She pulled back and signaled for this slow retreat. Her soldiers followed their orders, moving backwards as the Athenians followed behind. Everything was going as planned, until she heard one of her commanders give the word to attack. The world seemed to move in slow motion for her. Her entire army was behind the First Legion, engaging in hand-to-hand combat with the Athenian army. Even with all of her legions, they were still outnumbered, and there would be no element of surprise. The First Legion was caught off guard. They were trying to retreat, but in doing so they were running into fellow soldiers. She turned around to deflect the blow of a sword coming from a charging horse, the sword cutting her across the arm, leaving a trickle of blood. The soldier pulled his horse to Destiny and attacked. The blows were swift, but Destiny was able to block, then counterstrike, sending her sword through the unfortunate soldier's chest. Three more soldiers surrounded her horse, one piercing the chest of her faithful steed. Destiny pulled herself into the air in a double somersault behind the men as her favorite stallion fell to the ground. Pale green eyes turned dark with rage as the monster came out of its cage. She laughed as the soldiers watched her ready to charge. After all, she was just one small woman. "You cowards," she growled. "You've killed my horse, and now you will die," she yelled as the men ran toward her. She ducked under the first man, throwing him over her shoulder and out of her way. The second man came at her swinging, his sword in the air. She ran to his right, smashing his arm with a strong blow, then taking his head off with one swing of the sword in her left hand. She followed with a left side blade kick to the third man, sending him to his back, throwing his sword into the air. She caught the sword in her right hand and buried it into the chest of the fallen man. Hearing the footsteps of the third soldier, she brought her hands together around her sword and threw it over her shoulder behind her, driving it into the soldier's chest, then pulling it out before she ran toward the battle. She sliced her way through any soldier that came near her, ducking arrows that flew by, even catching a couple in her hands. The monster wanted blood, and she would take out as many of the enemy as she could until her mind came back into focus. Her army was being defeated, and retreat would be her only salvation. She charged up to an Athenian soldier on horseback and tackled him off the horse, killing him with one swift movement of her hands, snapping his neck, then mounted the horse and reared back as she gave the call to her men to retreat swiftly. She turned the horse around and followed as the rest of her army retreated away from the Athenians, sickened by the cheers of victory coming from the enemy. Mother would not be happy. The army came to a stop along the side of the forest. Destiny paced atop her new mount, trying to control the anger within. Her plan was destroyed because of a soldier's insubordination, and she would have to make a stand in front of the army. The soldiers waited patiently for the wrath of their leader. Many of their friends had been lost today, making the battle the first failure under Destiny's command. After several tense moments, Destiny pulled her horse around to the front of the army. "Commanders, forward, now," she yelled, her voice low and menacing. Nine men on horseback came forward, forming a line in front of their leader. "Dismount, now," she yelled, as the men jumped from their horses. "Seconds, forward, now." Nine more men on horseback came forward, lining up behind their commanders. "Take their horses and move back, now." The men quickly obeyed, rounding up the horses and backing up in front of the other soldiers. Destiny walked her horse down the line, surveying her men, her contempt noticeable in her eyes. "We failed today. Many men lost their lives, yet not one leader among you has been harmed, not even a bruise or a scratch." She stopped in the center of the line. "Did you even show up at the battle? I ride at the front of my legion, and I expect you to do the same." The men stood nervously in front of her, praying that today they would receive a second chance. "Who gave the command to charge?" The nine men looked around at each other, afraid to admit who made the mistake. Moments passed as Destiny looked on, her eyes dark green stones as the monster looked on. "Amazons, in position!" A dozen women warriors came down from the trees with bow and arrow in hand, pointed at the nine commanders. The men looked around to the side at the weapons pointed at them, growing increasingly nervous as the seconds ticked away. Destiny raised her right arm, ready to give the command to shoot, when Hector, one of her commanders, stepped forward and fell to his knees. "I gave the command. You were outnumbered and needed relief," he answered, his voice shaking. Destiny waved the Amazons off. "Rise, Hector." Hector did as he was told, thankful that Destiny's tone seemed to calm down immensely. "Do you trust me, Hector?" she asked. "Of course I do, General," he answered. "Are you a man of your word, Hector?" she asked, her voice controlled as she spoke each word. "Yes, I am, General," he answered. "You are neither," spat Destiny. "Because of it, hundreds of men have lost their lives today." "But, General," interrupted Hector, "we were outnumbered. We were losing." "Shut up, Hector, before I take your head off right here," she growled back. "Of course we were losing. We were one legion against many. That is why I signaled the retreat, to bring the battle to you, idiot. Look to your left, Hector. The battle should be going on right here and right now if you had obeyed my orders and trusted me. I have 500 warriors in that forest waiting for a battle they will never see, and hundreds of men dead because of your insubordination." "But I thought," stammered Hector. Before he could finish, Destiny somersaulted off of her horse, standing directly in front of the cowering commander, her face just inches away from his. "You were not paid to think, little man," she spat into his face. "You were paid to listen to my command," she continued as she backhanded the soldier. The force of the blow sent him flying to the ground. "Who is your second?" she asked, facing the nine men still on horseback. Luther walked his horse toward the front to let her know he was Hector's second. "Get down. Chain him to his horse and take him back to camp. You will be given instructions later on how to deal with him. And get some help from your men if you need it." Luther and a couple of soldiers picked the fallen man up and subdued him, while Destiny walked back and forth in front of the remaining eight soldiers. She looked each man up and down, then into his eyes. They stood at attention, under the careful scrutiny of their leader. "You boys look rather smug," she purred. "Now that Hector is being disciplined, maybe you think you boys are off the hook. Is that it?" she asked as she stared into the fearful dark brown eyes of a commander. The man stared back tentatively. "I guess I need new commanders," she yelled. "You boys have one chance to survive, but you must defeat me first." Destiny stepped away from the group, feral green eyes glowing in the fading sunlight. "But, General," cried the second commander, "none of us can defeat you. It's a death sentence." "There are eight of you against little old me. Take your chances, boys, and draw your weapons," she growled as she unsheathed her sword. The men stood frozen on the ground. "Come on, boys," she taunted, as she approached the first soldier, knocking him to the ground with a front blade kick. The other men began drawing their weapons as she turned around and ran her sword through the second unfortunate soldier. The next two soldiers ran at her with swords drawn. She leaped into the air, taking them out with a double kick and flipping backwards out of striking distance from the other four men. The four men ran at her. She took the first soldier out with a right roundhouse kick, then a left roundhouse kick for the second man. Before a third could reach her, she turned her body around and delivered a low kick to the third man, taking his legs out from under him and catching his sword as it left his hand. She battled the last man standing with a few swift strokes of the sword before she landed a blow that separated him from his head. She heard the footsteps behind her as one of the fallen men stood up and charged her. She lowered her body to avoid him, sending him flying over her shoulders, then grabbed her sword with both hands and swung it over her shoulder, piercing the second attacking man through the heart. She yanked the sword out from the body and brought it down in front of her, through the chest of the soldier lying at her feet. Destiny turned around to face the last four men as they tried to compose themselves, blood splattered across her neck and chest. She somersaulted into the air as they ran for her, kicking two of them onto the ground as she flew past them. She picked up a sword from the ground and charged the two standing men. With lightning speed, she rammed one sword into each. Before the men could fall, she used them for leverage, climbing onto their shoulders and delivering two perfectly placed back blade kicks to the soldiers behind her. As the men fell to the ground, she pulled the swords out of their chests and walked over to the last two men who remained alive. They lay side by side, holding their heads. Destiny walked in between the two men, a feral grin and a look of disgust on her face. She laughed as she brought the swords down into the ground, threw their bodies, and walked away. "Now," she yelled as she turned to address the troops, "does anyone else want to challenge my command?" The men stood silently looking at the fallen men, then back at Destiny. "Who commands this army?" she yelled. The men looked around and began chanting, "Destiny!" as she walked around the fallen men, withdrawing her own sword from one of the dead bodies. "Amazons, back to camp," she yelled as the men quieted down. Hundreds of warriors came down from the trees and retreated as Destiny contemplated her next move. She stood in front of the men, her face now covered with blood, the bright crimson stains intensifying the color of her eyes. "Seconds, dismount now!" The men jumped quickly to the ground to report. She walked up and down the line looking at them. "You are now my commanders. Is there any man here who will not follow these new leaders?" she asked, looking up at her troops. She waited for a response that never came. "Then there will be no more misunderstandings. As a reminder, I expect you men to put your fallen comrades to work," she growled, pointing to her new commanders. "I don't want anyone to forget who is in charge here. You boys will take them and place their heads on a stake in front of your legion in camp. This will serve to remind you of what happens to those who disobey a direct order from me. If anyone chooses to disobey me, I will place your head on a stake. Do I make myself clear?" She pointed at the line of men, looking nervously at the dead bodies. "Yes, General," came the reply from the men. "Commanders, you will report to me tomorrow with a complete count of soldiers in your legions. I want to know about injuries and deaths. You have until sunset tomorrow to complete your assignments. Everyone dismissed and go back to camp now." Destiny watched as the troops turned and began the trip back to camp, then turned her horse around and rode in a different direction. She urged the chestnut stallion into a gallop and rode hard toward the Amazon camp. Maybe there she would find solace. She was tired of the death and wondered why she had been given such a birthright. As soon as Athens fell, she would be on to her next conquest, Egypt, Britannia, and Gaul. Then she would have divine help and not have to carry the burden on her shoulders. It was what her mother planned for her. Destiny walked her horse through the dense forest, giving the steed a chance to cool down after the long, hard ride. She listened as the guards announced her arrival through a variety of bird whistles, then stopped with her hands clasped over her head in the customary sign of peace. Three warriors fell from the trees, masks made with brightly colored bird feathers covering their faces. One by one, they removed their masks, bowing in respect to the blood-soaked warrior. "Relax. I'm not here on business," replied Destiny. The Amazon stood up and walked with Destiny through the forest to the village. A full blue moon illuminated the peaceful village, quiet during the late evening hour. Destiny was escorted to the queen's hut, her arrival announced before she entered the building. Varya watched silently as the weary brunette entered the hut, bloodstains dried across her battle dress and body. "You look like hell," stated Varya as she clasped the warrior's arm. "I feel worse than I look," answered Destiny, a tired grin on her face. "What brings you here so late?" asked the queen. "I'm sure you've heard news of the battle already," answered Destiny. "Yes, I'm sure it's just a setback," replied Varya. "Yes, just a setback," replied Destiny, staring aimlessly past the queen. Several long moments of silence passed. Varya recognized the vacant look of her friend. Years of endless fighting seemed to be tearing away at her soul, piece by piece. "I take it you're not here to recount the details of the battle," Varya said quietly, interrupting the uneasy silence. Destiny's eyes blinked twice as she refocused her attention to the tall brunette standing before her. "On to Plan B. Roman soldiers will be passing through the forest in a couple of days. I want you to assure them safe passage." "It will be done. Is there anything else I should know?" asked Varya. "Xena and Gabrielle were spotted in Egypt. I expect them in Greece any day now. You should expect to hear from them soon." Destiny paused, her eyes void of expression. "How will you handle them?" "Gabrielle is a queen, and Xena is a friend of the nation. They are welcome at the village." "Xena is a Greek, and will fight for Athens if she reaches the city in time." Destiny glared intensely at the Amazon queen. "What are you asking me to do?" asked Varya tentatively. "Who are you loyal to, Varya?" Destiny stood inches away from the tall brunette's face, her eyes never leaving the queen's. Varya bowed her head in respect. "I am loyal to you." "Good. Then I will leave instructions with Myrene before I go." "Do you plan to kill Xena?" Destiny turned away from her before answering, "One of us must die. Gabrielle will not be harmed." Destiny turned around to look at Varya's expression, blue eyes filled with melancholy. "Is there anything else?" asked Varya. Destiny lowered her head, looking at the floorboards. "You could have sent a messenger, Destiny. Please talk to me. I know you didn't ride all this way to take a bath, which you need, I might add." Destiny looked up, a small grin lighting her face for a moment. "I guess I just needed to see a friendly face," answered Destiny, her eyes filling with tears at the events of the day caught up with her. Varya moved toward the smaller brunette, embracing her with strong arms as the woman cried softly on her shoulder. "I'm tired of killing," she whispered. Varya continued to hold the distraught woman, offering words to console her. After several minutes, Destiny broke the embrace and collected herself, wiping the tears from her eyes. "You know, if you ever tell anyone about these visits, I will have to kill you," she stated, a devilish grin on her face. "You have my word. One day you might even talk to me," replied Varya. "Yes, and maybe one day the killing will stop." Tired eyes focused sharply on the tall brunette. "I have one more request before I leave." "Go on." "Ravenna will lead the Amazon Legion into battle. Have her report to my camp tomorrow. She has already been given her instructions." "I can wake her if you wish." "No, no need. But you should know, if I do not succeed in killing Xena, she is to give the order to shoot to kill." "Please, Destiny, I can't ask the Amazons to kill Xena," pleaded Varya. "The order must be carried out," demanded Destiny as she walked to the door and opened it. "As I stated earlier, one of us must die. The fate of the nation is on the line. Make sure she carries out the order." Destiny was on her horse and galloping out of the village before Varya could register a response. Destiny continued on, only stopping to give Myrene final instructions when she reached the last guard post before leaving Amazon territory. Destiny reached the war camp as the first rays of the morning sun peaked above the horizon, her body tired and caked with the day's blood as a reminder of her failure. She sat atop the chestnut horse, watching as the camp began to show signs of daily life. She could fight wild tigers, take on 100 elite soldiers, and fight the best of the gladiators without fear. But when it came to facing the disappointment in her mother's face, her courage dissipated with each step as she drew nearer to the main tent. Tentatively, she strolled into the tent. Her mother sat behind her desk, watching as her only daughter walked through the door. "Where have you been?" asked Hope, irritation in her voice. "I had business to finish up at the village, Mother," responded Destiny. "Your business is here, Destiny. Father is most unhappy with you." "And you, Mother, are you unhappy with me?" "Father will not wait any longer, Destiny. I need those soldiers," answered Hope, ignoring the derogatory remark. "Yes, Mother, it will be done. I give you my word. A message has been sent to Antony for reinforcements. They will be traveling through Amazon territory. I went to Varya to notify her of the developments." "You should have sent a scout. I need you here." "Romans on Amazon land, Mother. I felt it was important enough to prepare her in person. I can't afford any more problems." "Very well. How soon will they be here?" "Antony should be here shortly to go over the battle plans. His troops should arrive within 3 days." "We can't lose this battle, Destiny. The consequences are unacceptable." "We won't, Mother. Even if the warrior princess shows up, we will be able to defeat the Athenian army on numbers alone. I will personally take care of her in battle when the need arises." "What happened on that battlefield? You told me the plan would work." "I also said it was risky, Mother. We should have waited for Antony's forces. Too many men lost their lives." "And yet I have no sacrifices for Dayhawk. Why is that?" hissed Hope. "I barely got my men out alive. I'm not going to risk their lives to save the dead," yelled Destiny. "So we have to rely on Rome." "Yes, Mother. Their legions are stronger. It will take longer to accomplish our goal, but fewer lives will be lost." "I don't care about the losses. What will this alliance cost us?" "For now, Rome," answered Destiny, trying to hide the disgust on her face. "It is a minor setback. I can be very persuasive, you know." "How can you be so sure of Antony's loyalty?" "I will accept his offer of marriage. He will not betray me." "Destiny, marriage to Rome is not part of the plan." "He's a good man, Mother." "Don't let your emotions get in the way of your duty." "I won't, Mother. I am allowed a little bit of fun, aren't I?" Just make sure your fun doesn't sidetrack you. I will. When the time is right, he will be gone. Good girl. Has there been any word that Xena is in Greece now? As of today, no, but I have scouts in the field who have yet to report. They were spotted in Egypt several days ago. Notify me immediately when they arrive. I will, Mother, answered Destiny, rolling her eyes as she spoke, a very droll expression on her face. Years of death and destruction had blackened her heart. I worry about you. The fire is gone from your eyes. I need you ready to win at all costs. You cannot be complacent. Mother, I just need some sleep. I've been on a horse for several hours. Nothing more. You're my daughter. I can't help but worry. Is there anything else? No. A bath has been drawn in your tent. Go wash up and get some rest. You look awful. Thank you for the commentary, hissed Destiny. A knock was heard at the door, and a young scout walked into the tent. She handed Destiny two scrolls before she was dismissed. Destiny opened the first scroll, a grin forming as she read the contents. Good news, I take it, stated Hope, as she watched her daughter read the note. It appears Antony is here already, Destiny grinned, thoughts of the handsome, dark general invading her thoughts. Don't let love get in our way, daughter. Destiny looked at her mother, dismayed by the accusation. I just need to relieve a little tension, mother. Nothing more. She opened the second scroll and read it. An evil grin appeared on her face. It seems as though you have been kidnapped, mother, stated Destiny, a feral look in her eyes. I must go save you. Xena and Gabrielle are finally in Greece, responded Hope. Destiny continued reading the scroll. They were captured in Egypt. A representative has been sent to negotiate your release. Perfect. This will change our plans. Athens can wait, stated Hope. Destiny's eyes became dark as anger built up inside of her. No, I have worked too long and too hard for this, Mother. Athens is surrounded. Their water supply has been cut off, their food supply poisoned, and after tomorrow their fountains will be contaminated. They will be forced to come out and fight us. With Antony's forces, we will crush them, she yelled, her hand balled into a fist as it came down hard onto the desk in front of her mother. Hope stood up defiantly, looking intensely into the eyes of the small brunette, emerald eyes dark with rage. This is not a game. Do as you are told. I was told to conquer Athens, and I will. If I am to defeat the warrior princess, I will do it on the battlefield with honor. This isn't about honor. Do not make father angry, Destiny. The consequences will not be good. When she has been defeated in battle, I will earn the respect of those conquered, and they will bow at my feet under my rule. Accept the terms, Mother. Now is not the time to be insubordinate. You created me, Mother. Accept it, yelled Destiny before storming out of the tent. As she stomped through the camp, the soldiers cleared a pathway, careful to stay out of the emotional leader's way. She stood in front of her tent, taking deep breaths to contain her anger, driving the monster back into its lair. The flap of the tent opened, revealing the majestic form of the Roman. He was 6 feet tall, with dark bronzed skin, a thick muscular build, short brown hair and large brown eyes. Your bath awaits you, my love, Antony whispered, his voice low and seductive. Destiny put her hands in front of her to push the large man away as he attempted to kiss her. You really don't want to touch me yet, she whispered, looking down at her blood-stained body. Not your blood, I hope, he replied, moving to the side to allow Destiny into the tent. Inside, a servant was emptying hot water into a second tub. You must have seen me ride in, quipped Destiny as she began to remove her armor. Antony quickly came to her side. Here, let me help you, he hussed, removing the gold armor from her dress and swiftly removing the garment and armaments adorning her body. Destiny sat down on the floor and watched the handsome dark man as he unlaced her boots and slipped them off of her feet. When he finished, he handed the uniform and armor to the servant with instructions to have them cleaned. Antony offered his hand to Destiny and helped her to her feet, leading her over to the first tub. Destiny stepped in, immersing herself under the water. By the time she broke through the surface, the water had turned a deep crimson from the dried blood. Antony offered his hand, escorting her into the second tub filled with steaming water, placing her in front of him. This feels nice, purred Destiny, leaning back into the powerful chest of the Roman. I will make you feel even better, Antony whispered into her ear as strong hands reached in front, caressing firm breasts. Don't stop, she moaned, leaning her head back to kiss the handsome man. She sighed after breaking the contact. I failed, Antony. You lost one battle, but you will win the war. That battle should never have been fought. I should have waited. Destiny, it was a good plan. If your men had listened to your command, you would have won, defended Antony. A lot of men died because of me, started Destiny. It's war, darling. Rule number one, people die. Rule number two, you can't change rule number one. Doesn't mean I have to like it. I know. That's one of the many reasons why I love you. Destiny turned around in the water, leaning with her arms on either side of Antony. And here I thought you just wanted me for my body, she purred, before claiming supple lips, her tongue demanding entry. Antony's hands reached around her back, stroking the soft golden skin. You know I'm in love with you, he replied breathlessly. Yes, I do, answered Destiny, her lips brushing across the coarse bronze skin of his neck. Have you thought more of my proposal? Asked Antony, moaning from the erotic touch of the small brunette. Yes, she replied, in between kisses, as she worked her way down to his chest, licking droplets of water from the sensitive skin. Yes, you've thought about it, or yes is your answer? He asked, as large hands enveloped her head, tilting it upward. Destiny looked into his soft brown eyes. Yes is my answer. Antony pulled her toward him, kissing her fervently. Soon you shall be Empress of Rome and conqueror of Greece, she added. I will be needing your troops. Will that be a problem? They will be here in 2 days, providing we can travel through Amazon territory. Already done. After tomorrow night, the Athenians will no longer have water and will be forced into battle. Destiny straddled his stomach, lowering herself onto his hard, muscular body. How will you manage that? The how is my little secret. I will poison the fountains located in the middle of the city. The river has already been stopped. Now, no more talk, she purred, pressing her lips to his. To be continued. That was part one of Gabrielle's Destiny by Candid Eyes. I really hope you enjoyed it. I'm going to put a link to the story. It's at the Academy of Bards. I'm going to put a link in my show notes. So be sure and go over and take a look and drop her an email. Let her know that you enjoyed the story. If you want to email me, it is xenacast@gmail.com. I always take suggestions for stories that you might want me to read. I only have a couple of requirements, one of them being that it be a classic Xena Warrior Princess story. I'm going to get into Ubers and Conqueror stories at some point, but not right now. So go check out the website, xenafanfictionpodcast.com. And there you will find the links to everything I have talked about. So until next time, keep your pens on the paper and your imagination in the stars. Further through the night, say.